Good evening. Well, first of all, for whomever it was that decided that you didn't have to wear a tie when you spoke on Wednesday night, bless your heart. I thank you and my neck thanks you. About 4 months ago, Brenda and I were on our way down to Myrtle Beach to visit our brother-in-law, George Simon. He had just recently had a heart attack at that time. And I say brother-in-law, but since Trula and George will be celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary this weekend, Lord willing, and we're going down to celebrate it with them, George is not just a brother-in-law, is he? He's a brother to us. On the way down, though, we heard a certain song that caught our attention. And since then, I've been onto the web, and I've listened to it and was able to write down the lyrics. And it goes like this. The call comes in. We get the word that an accident or something has occurred. We begin to pray, believing we are heard. Doctors say, prepare for the worst. The chorus goes, but God was first on the scene. Before it happened, He knew our need. How many of us would find it quite odd that we wouldn't be here except for two words, but God. Second verse goes, in all our lives, we seldom know how many nights the angels were bending low. They are never far. The Father's always close. Some may say, give up. They don't know. But God was first on the scene. Before it happened, He knew our need. How many of us would find it quite odd that we wouldn't be here except for two words, but God. Message of that song was particularly pertinent to us at the time because the Lord had just delivered George from the heart attack and allowed the doctors to place a stent in his artery that provides medicine over a prolonged period of time. And once again, the Lord has delivered George from just a more recent heart attack. And as I thought about how the Lord had spared George's life, I began to think of those times in Scripture when the words but God are used and what a difference those words make. I used George's electronic Bible concordance while I was down there that first time and looked up a few of those references, and we'll be looking at a few of them tonight as time permits. The first but God that we'll look at is found over in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to start reading in verse 25, Philippians 2:25. Yet I thought it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my need. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, near unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. In this passage, Epaphroditus was near to death, and then we have but God. And that made all the difference. Epaphroditus' life was spared. Paul was spared too from the grief, the sorrow upon sorrow that he would have felt had the Lord chosen to take Epaphroditus. We may all be able to look at certain times in our life when the words, but God, meant the difference between life and death. And I can think of four particular times in my life alone when, if not for but God, I would probably not be here with you this evening. One particular time that I thought I'd tell you about was back during high school football. We were doing blocking drills, and we as running backs were running down the field to make a block on a defensive player in the secondary. And we were running about 15 yards to make the block. I remember bits and pieces of this thing, and I remember being about 5 yards out and running toward the player. I don't remember the collision. I don't remember what happened, and probably it was a good thing because the next thing I do remember, I'm on my back and I'm looking up and all I see is blue sky. And I'm thinking, where did everybody go? As I started to get up, though, I got a cramp in my hamstring, And when I got a cramp in my hamstring, I went back on my back again. And my jaws, for whatever reason, just clenched tight, I guess because of the pain from the cramp. My mouthpiece was still in my mouth. And as I was struggling with the cramp and my jaws being locked, I'm assuming as I went backwards, my tongue just kind of slid toward the back part of my mouth, and it cut my air off. And I remember struggling with the cramp, and I remember not being able to breathe and struggling to breathe, and finally just passed out. After I passed out, the coaches gathered around, from what I understand, people telling me afterwards, and tried to get my mouth back open, tried to get my airway back open. One of my friends told me that during the time that I was out, I was already turning blue because the air was cut off. The head coach came over and stuck his thumb up under my upper teeth trying to pry my mouth open. And in so doing, he rips his thumbnail off and he splits my lip. I'm out this whole time. I don't even know what's going on. The next thing I do remember, I'm being loaded into an ambulance and, you know, I'm awake finally. And, you know, I look at that, and the words, but God, seem so pertinent that if it wasn't for but God, my life may not have been spared. Now, some of you, and well so, may be thinking, well, that explains a whole lot. I knew there was something different about this guy, but it's probably because he's got brain damage due to lack of oxygen. But, you know, perhaps only eternity will reveal all the instances in our lives when but God meant the difference between life and death. But you know, we know instances in our life of but God when we prayed for others and we've seen them miraculously healed and delivered. Whether it be from healed from a deathly illness or whether it be from a situation so fraught with danger that death seemed imminent. It's those times that we prayed because, as the song we read says, we believe we're heard, and we've seen the Lord's deliverance. But there's something particular that, as I've studied this particular study, that I've come to realize, was that even when the Lord doesn't grant our prayers for the healing and restoration of someone who was sick unto death, that those instances are but God moments as well. For Brenda and I particularly, we can remember the times that we prayed for my mom and dad, for her mom and dad, Del and Betty. Praying even at the point when the doctor said there was no hope, there was nothing else that they could do to help and to heal. And we prayed at those times because we know that the Lord, who can raise the dead, can certainly heal someone who is mortally ill. The Lord had other things, though, planned for us and planned for them. He chose not to heal them. The Lord, who could have bewildered, and my mom and dad and Del and Betty would have been miraculously and victoriously healed. However, the Lord chose to take them home to be with Himself. Psalms 116:15, a verse that has been on our hearts recently particularly, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. We wanted to keep our moms and dads here, but God. But God chose to take them home to be with Himself. But you know, but God delivered them from their sickness. Not just to a restoration of their earthly life and their physical health, but to the deliverance of eternal life and immortal health. The second but God that we'll look at tonight is found in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph unto Egypt. But God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Because of but God, Joseph was not only promoted to the high position that he enjoyed there in the government of Egypt, but he was used to preserve life, not only of that of the Egyptians, but the life of his father and his other 11 brothers and their families, thus preserving God's earthly chosen people, and thus preserving the line through which the Messiah would come. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, Joseph, speaking to his brother, gives us another but God. In this instance, the but is a supplied word in the text, and it doesn't count in the ones we're looking at tonight, but it's worth considering. The verse says this, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God. But God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save many people alive." You know, mankind thinks to do all that it can against the person of God and the Word of God, but God, who is the sovereign ruler of the universe, is always going to be victorious. His will won't be thwarted. His plans won't be defeated. The third but God we'll look at tonight is found over in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. We'll begin by reading verses 26 through 29. Acts chapter 13, verse 26. "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you that feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet they desired Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. You know, that's where the world and the false religions and false beliefs want this to end. But is that where it ends? That's not where God ends it. Verse 30. But God raised him from the dead. As I was studying this portion up in verse 27, about halfway through, the word knew, it says, because they knew him not. That struck me for some reason, and I looked it up, and it's from the Greek word agnoeo, which means not to know through lack of information or intelligence, by implication to ignore through disinclination. When God's earthly chosen people had refused God's word, chose to ignore God's word and the prophecies that the Lord Jesus himself fulfilled, condemned him, sought his death, and when they had fulfilled all that God had caused to be written of him, they took him down and laid him in a sepulcher, out of sight, gone forever. So they thought. But God fulfilled his own word. Acts chapter 13, verse 35 says, "Thou shalt not allow thine Holy One to see corruption," which is a reference to Psalm 16, verse 10. Once again, man does all he can against the purposes, the plan, and the person of God. But God overrules. Next one we'll look at is over in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And we'll be looking at verses 6 through 11. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation." The scriptures tell us that hardly anyone is going to die for a righteous man. Maybe somebody will dare to die for a good man. But we were neither righteous nor good, and we had no one else of our kind to die for us, or even to dare to die for us. And how could they? They were neither righteous nor good either. But God. But God, while we were yet sinners, without strength, enemies, God introduces or exhibits His love toward us by giving the Lord Jesus Christ to die for us. And now we are justified, we are reconciled, and we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, on to my favorite chapter, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll finish up with this one. The portions we've been looking at in Ephesians chapter 2, I'll call them night and day passages. The first one will be in verses 1 through 7. Verses 1 through 3, I'll call the night part, and verses 4 through 7, I'll call the day part. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love with which He has loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We find ourselves described in the darkness of who we were. But God steps in. Darkness is changed to light. Death is changed to life. We who were shackled and broken down under that load of sin are raised up and seated in the heavenlies. All because of but God. Because of the richness of His mercy and His exceeding love, we are alive together with Christ. And if that wasn't enough, into the eternity before us, God is going to continue to show the superabundant riches of His grace toward us through Christ Jesus our Lord. The second night and day passage, it'll be verses 11 through 13. 11 and 12 being the night, verse 13 being the day. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who once were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. God's word follows the but God with a but now. We see our position in verses 11 and 12. But God does not leave us there. Because but now, we who once were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. We're out of time, and I'll go ahead and stop here tonight. I hope these few thoughts have blessed your heart as they have blessed mine. We can be truly thankful that we have a God who is intimately involved in our lives. And we can be thankful for all those times, those but God moments, when He shows His mighty power. And may we always be quick to give Him all the honor and glory for those times when but God made all the difference. Let's close. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we continue before You this evening, we thank You and praise You for who You are. We thank You that in all these situations we find ourselves, whether it be physical or spiritual, Father, You're always there. We thank You for the words, but God, and how, as bad and dark as it might seem, You come through with the victory. And we thank You for the way You've worked in our lives, the way You continue to work in our lives. We continue to give You honor and glory, the thanks and the praise for all these things in Your name and for Your sake. Amen.